This is Inside the Net with Amber MacArthur, Episode 7 for January 10th, 2006, Macworld Expo. And we're here at Macworld Expo.
We're here, and I had a chance to see Steve Jobs in the keynote speech this morning. I've never seen him speak before, so it was pretty wonderful. And
what'd you think?
He was great. He was really, really good. Very impressive speaker. Had lots of great news.
It's amazing when you see Bill Gates stumble at CES. You see Paul Ottolini at CES. Even Larry Page of Google, hotly anticipated. Oh, my God, how boring. And then you see Steve do it so effortlessly, and it's like a rock star.
He really is like a rock star when he speaks, and there's long moments of silence, which I think is hard to carry, you know, and there's no nervous energy in the room or anything, and he's a great speaker. Unfortunately, I can't stop thinking about the Saturday Night Live skit about the iPod, and so everything he's saying, I always think he's joking because that skit is in my memory.
One thing he did I thought was very smart is he was demonstrating the podcasting capability of GarageBand, so he made a Steve's Rumor, Mac Rumor podcast, which I thought was hysterical. And one of the rumors was an 8-pound iPod.
That was great. And they had the little iPod image where someone was walking with a large, large iPod. So, yeah, he was wonderful. A really, really good speaker. And I was very, very surprised because, again, I haven't seen him speak before. And it was pretty impressive.
From inside the net point of view, from a network, you know, internet point of view, tell us a little bit about what Apple announced. There was a lot of stuff, really, for the net.
Yeah, there was a ton of stuff. I mean, the thing I was probably most impressed with was the new application within iLife 06, which is called iWeb. So I guess this is the sixth application within iLife, and it allows people to easily create a website and integrate tools like podcasting, all of their photos, create a blog, create an About Us page, and literally within four or five, actually not even that long, probably a couple of minutes, Steve Jobs showed us how to put up a website that was complete with lots of multimedia, lots of information, and also looks pretty good.
In fact, you know, there's now podcasting button inside GarageBand. You and I, it was funny, we started to make a podcast at the iMac demo and kind of got in trouble.
I feel like we're going to get kicked out of here pretty soon because we've been told we're not supposed to do certain things, but we keep doing them.
The Apple PR guy came over and said, "You're not actually doing a podcast, are you?" No, no.
No, no, not at all. We're just testing it out. They were a little bit nervous, I think, but we got away with it. But yeah, that's really, really a neat feature of GarageBand, and I'm going to start using it. I haven't used GarageBand before very much. But to be able to really easily create and publish your own podcast in there, and it makes it so easy, and lots of neat features in that as well.
And iPhoto now has the ability to create, and this is kind of interesting given that people like Guy Kawasaki are trying to get in this space, Flickr, of course, create an RSS feed of your photos that anybody can subscribe to.
Yeah, I think they called it photo casting, so they've adopted the terminology from podcasting, and you're able to easily share all your photos with a click of the button. I know, you know, it'd be great to be able to come home with all your pictures from a vacation, upload them, and then let people subscribe to them instead of sending them links and sending them out. So it's a really, really another really useful tool from Apple that, you know, I think makes it really easy for consumers to share media like photos and videos.
I mean, of course, you can do it from within iPhoto, so you just subscribe within iPhoto. But Steve pointed out you could use any RSS client to pick up the feed, so you could do it from Windows or any machine.
Yeah, so it's not as though, you know, the people who are the recipients of all of your photos and those things need to also be on .Mac or be using the same tools. They can still see them because it uses basic technology, RSS.
I like it that Apple's supporting RSS so well. I mean, I think they're doing a good job. We have also talked to a number of celebrities. That's been kind of fun.
Yes, we've been talking to lots of podcasting celebrities in particular.
Can you believe John C. Dvorak hit me up for $40?
I can't believe. You know, I have to admit that I just moblogged that photo.
Did you?
Yeah, I sure did. And he's asking for the money. He's begging, and you're giving him a dirty look. So people can check that out on my Text America account.
He said, "I forgot my wallet. Give me money for parking." I said, "Okay." I feel like he's like a kid.
I know. It's funny because we're trying to talk to him about Apple, and all he wants to talk about is this new phone that he has. It's the only one in the United States, and it's from Sweden, I think.
That's John C. Dvorak for you right there in a nutshell. It's fun, though. We've seen Eric Rice. We've seen so many other podcasters from Rocket Boom. You met Steve Garfield.
Yes, I met Steve Garfield. So I've been a big fan of Rocket Boom for a while now. That's been one of the most popular, I think, video podcasts out there with Amanda Congdon. And then they have correspondents all around the U.S. Hopefully they'll get some in Canada as well.
Well, and I met somebody. I'm a huge fan. Well, I think the best video podcast out there. From Command N, Amber MacArthur was here.
Yes, I am here, Leo. I just paid you $20 to do that.
No, I have to say I feel bad because we've never plugged Command N on the show. And really, it's a great video podcast. So let's give you a plug, CommandN.tv.
Yes, we have lots of great video podcasts there. I think we're up to number 28. I'll be doing a video podcast from Macworld as well that will be released next Monday. So I think it's kind of interesting that we haven't promoted it very much, but it's this little gem that people can, you know, they're doing Google and they find it, and then they have this whole history of podcasts that we've been doing weekly since last June.
And it's great. You do it with Mike Lazzara, and we're going to promote it from now on. So one of the things that we thought, look, we're going to cover the show from the point of view of Inside the Net, Web 2.0. It seems like iWeb is probably the most significant thing at the show in terms of making it easy to publish a website. Try and find an iWeb product manager.
I know, there really isn't an iWeb product manager here who wants to talk to us, or we can't find one, really. That's more of the case, but it does seem one of the most interesting products that's out there for a lot of people who are interested in the web and interested in building websites.
But we did find somebody to talk about iWeb, and that's David Pogue of the New York Times.
Yes, I'm very excited to talk to him. I read his column all the time, so it was great to sit down with him and see what he thinks of iWeb and other features like iPhoto and iMovie.
So, David, were you at all surprised by the announcements today?
You know what? Almost everything had been pretty... Actually, the rumor sites should be...
They were kind of wrong.
Yeah, they were kind of wrong.
No iBook.
With this plasma TV thing? How?
Well, that was always bogus.
Well, it was bogus, but you know what? Jason O'Grady was really mad at me a few years ago when I wrote a column on the rumor sites, and I
you left out PowerPage?
No, I singled him out as having consistently ridiculous predictions. He was so mad at me for years, and then he's finally come around to looking me in the eye again, and now he just, like, I'm going to start doing it again because that was just the biggest piece of BS.
It was well written, though. No, you didn't like this, the 7-Eleven scenario?
That you are there in medias res. You know, he wipes his hair over his rat tail hairdo. He stalks over to the frozen foods. Yeah, right.
Well, you know what it was, is he had a very flimsy rumor, and he managed to get 1,000 words out of it. That was the key. You ought to know about that.
Yeah. Excuse
me. No, no. I just said somebody who has to crank out a lot of verbiage.
This interview is over.
He just pulled a Steve Jobs on us. So, Amber, you wanted to ask about...
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about iWeb. So we had a chance to take a look at that this morning. It seems pretty amazing for a lot of people who are interested in creating their own websites and integrating a lot of the tools already in iLife. So what do you think of it?
Well, I guess, a lot of it already exists, you know. I mean, you can do basic canned templates out of iPhoto or iMovie or directly on the .Mac website. So I didn't quite see the majesty of it, but I guess there's a certain audience of very technophobic people who could use its templates. To me, frankly, the templates looked very brochure-y. You know, it's pretty limited. Everything looks really commercial to me, and awfully the same. But then again, I'm not, you know, the technophobic housewife in Illinois who has always dreamed of making a website but thought it was too hard.
You know what I liked about it is just the built-in RSS. You know, you push a button and you've got an RSS feed. You've got a podcast feed. You've got a blog feed. Do you think that... I mean, look at what Microsoft's trying to do with RSS and struggling with, and Apple just pushes a button and there it is.
Well, that's true. That's true. The blog stuff and the RSS stuff. That GarageBand thing was neat, though. That was neat. You put in music and it automatically backs off the music during the spoken areas of the track. That's very clever. Automatic ducking, he called that.
You know, I've been in radio for 30 years, and he says, you know what ducking is? And I'm going, ducking, ducking. It walks like a duck, quacks like a duck. But it was cool. It worked.
Yeah, it did.
And it makes it very easy to do a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things about iWeb is it just makes it really easy for everybody to use a lot of these tools. And I totally agree. I mean, I've been doing web design for a while, and, you know, I like these really advanced, customized websites. But for the average person who isn't familiar with how to make the most of their .Mac account and how to use iLife and all these different tools and kind of bring them together, I think it makes it easy in one stab.
I guess I'd need to see more of it. I mean, it looked like... They're really graphics intensive. I mean, everything he was... I mean, it's like a page layout program, what he was showing. He was dragging these gigantic, you know, 600 by 800 pixel graphics like there was... Like the whole world is on broadband, slapping them down there. And the web pages looked like... They look like documents. They look like
they're kind of stock. They did. They look like something out of Pages.
But they don't even look like web pages. They don't have sidebars, and they don't have, you know, I guess there's that one navigation bar across the top that lets you choose blogs or whatever. But, you know, I'd like to know, for example, what happens if I want a page that isn't about me, email me, or my blog. You know, what if you want to put up an e-business site and you want to branch to your own products?
I suppose somebody could create templates, although traditionally Apple's not been very good about opening up those templates. You have to kind of reverse engineer them.
Correct.
That's one thing I was wondering, if you could really customize a lot of the pages and create your own pages. I mean, I know you can change the title of the pages because we just did that when we were playing around with it a little bit. So at least you can change the title to something different. But I totally agree. You have to be able to add on more pages and make it a little more scalable. But I haven't played with it enough to know if you can really go in and do a lot with it.
You know, David, aren't you writing an iLife book? I mean, an iLife 06 book?
I was just thinking, before I answer that question, we're just doing what Jason O'Grady does, aren't we? We're just taking a 5-minute demo that we all saw and, like, speculating wildly.
Leo's power page. It's a whole new thing. Yeah, I'm the one you should be saying 1,000 words, no content. That's only more like 5,000-10,000 words, no content. So, but you are working on an iLife 06 book, aren't you?
You know what? The people have spoken, and what they have said is, we don't want to buy your iLife book.
Really?
So, yeah. So this year I'm just going to do iMovie and iPhoto, which are the two books that people seem to be interested in. And I'm going to leave it at that.
You do great iMovie stuff. I mean, first of all, we're talking to an Emmy Award-winning journalist here. So, I mean, this guy is a TV guy. And the stuff you do with iMovie is amazing. Did you look at the new movie motion templates and like those?
Yes, I did like those. In fact, I could think of some of my own movies that I've made that could have benefited from those. That's a beautiful feature.
Yeah. And the little crinkle photo, I love that.
That was really cool. I think iPhoto, they've made a lot of improvements as well. What did you think of that?
Oh, man. You know what's so funny about iPhotos? I had been so frustrated by two things, by the speed and the library sizes, and also the fact that Aperture has these 300 dpi photo books and not this 150 dpi of iPhoto. I'm really into those iPhoto books. I make them for gifts. I make them for my wife's birthday. I make one every Christmas that shows our family's year in review. And so there's this nice stack of five of them now. It's really, really a cool collection on our coffee table. But here's Aperture comes along with four times the resolution. So I was really excited about that. So this year, I did the whole Aperture thing. I had to borrow a computer to run it on, but I did manage to get the book ordered. And then here's iPhoto, comes along with that same high-res printing. So I think I'm now going to go back to iPhoto.
It looks like they just incorporated a lot of Aperture stuff. The full-size review, that's straight out of Aperture. So obviously they're kind of cross-developing stuff, which is good. The other thing I liked was it's Intel native. And did you notice how... I was wondering. I'm looking at Steve. I see he's on an iMac, and mail is popping up. Everything's popping. I'm going, what is he running on? That's not an iMac.
Yeah, I thought it was peculiar from the very beginning that of the entire line, he would do his demos on an iMac.
Yeah.
I liked when he said it scrolls like butter. That was good.
Still deciphering that.
That's going to become a new catchphrase. You mark my words. There's going to be bumper stickers.
And there was a nervous laugh from the audience. We're not quite sure what that means. I guess that's a good thing.
You know, Steve is so good. It's funny. Now, you probably were at Bill Gates. The comparison between the two, it's kind of not very favorable to Bill. I mean, Steve is relaxed up there. When the audience laughs, he picks up on it and interacts with him. You can't imagine Bill Gates doing that.
No, you don't get the idea that Bill Gates is up there. You know, I have a very different view of Bill Gates since I met him. I mean... The guy, he's a nerd. He's a kid, and this has all been thrust upon him, and he's doing a noble job of trying to get through these interviews with the same questions every time, but you can tell he's not in his element.
Is Steve a grown-up?
Let's talk more about Bill Gates.
Well, we were going to talk about iWeb, but since none of us have anything to say about it...
I know, it's hard. We really haven't played around with it enough. But anyway, it seems like there's interesting things coming out in iLife that make it a little more worthwhile for the average person to buy it and then get a dot .Mac account is still a little expensive, I think.
I might have a different take than you, David. I think that there is a large audience for point-and-click web pages. And you're right. They started doing that in iPhoto. You can do the homepage. But this is much more flexible, and they didn't have a point-and-click blog.
I think one of the reasons we might both feel the same way is because we get a lot of questions on call for help from people who say, how do I make a website really easily?
Right.
And it would be nice if we could be, you know, just say, hey, go buy iLife and iWeb is great and you can do that really simply. Because that's one of the most common questions we probably have on call for help is, how do I do this from scratch? Get my photos online, get my movies online, and maybe, you know, right now with the .Mac account, that's not good enough for them.
And I too have a built-in, you know, stance for my opinion, which is that I have a website, and I was immediately thinking, oh my gosh, I hope I can use this instead of fumbling through Dreamweaver week after week.
And I
can't, you know, because...
Well, maybe you can. What we don't know, what I'd like to know is when you upload it to .Mac, is that just kind of stuff that you could then take and put somewhere else, or does it require a back end that only .Mac provides?
Well, I would bet that as per iMovie and iPhoto, you can export your site as HTML and a bunch of image folders.
So you could.
Yeah. You know, but it's the design tools that are so limited.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? You can't do it.
You mean with your design?
Well, yeah, exactly.
There's no CSS in the back.
Right. You can't do a table. You can't do stretchy columns. You know, there's all counters. There's all kinds of things that it appears that you can't do.
I'm in the middle. Amber is working on a web redesign for This Week in Tech with Archetype, her company. And I was looking at this going, how can we get my our new design in this tool?
And I was looking at it going, oh, this is going to help us a lot with the information architecture. We'll just steal some of these ideas, especially with the podcasting. I think that's one thing, again, that is really attractive for people who want to do podcasts and don't know how to set up RSS feeds. Again, this just makes it easy again.
You do a podcast. Do you do a podcast, David?
No.
Now, looking at this in GarageBand, are you thinking maybe just sitting down and doing, you know, a little podcast?
Man, where am I going to find the time?
No.
Yeah, if I had the time, I would. And
I think people would love it if you would just sit down and do 10 minutes once in a while, just off the top of your head.
My wife wouldn't love it because that would mean displacing an income bearing project.
Oh, income! Oh,
podcasters don't understand income.
We haven't really addressed that at all. Dvorak always says a business plan will emerge.
And now I'm going to interview you. You're going to be on my show tomorrow, as you know, my live show here at the keynote at Macworld tomorrow. And I'm going to ask you that question. Let's see. You have this incredibly successful podcast that makes no money. And now you're going to develop a podcast network of six of them
that make no money.
But you're going to make it up in volume. Right?
That's right. It's the old story once again. I think advertising will come along. I really do eventually. And if not, I'm having fun. You're having fun.
I'm having a great time. I do a video podcast and this audio podcast, a lot of these things, and I spend a lot of time in them, and I don't make any money, but I still like it, and hopefully it will pay off one day, and at least people are happy. They get lots of tech content.
You don't appear to have three children and a mortgage, though.
Oh, no, I don't have time. I have to podcast.
It's podcasts or children. That's all there is. Just tell Jennifer she can do her own podcast.
Oh, yeah, like she's got the time.
Sure. Hi, this is Jennifer Pogue. She's a physician. She could talk. I think the stories about your mother-in-law alone could fill a podcast. We should probably edit that out.
And by the way, I have another question about this iWeb thing. Yes, it's cool to be able to do this RSS feed, but who the hell knows what an RSS feed is?
But you don't need to. You push the button. Well, I mean, No.
The other guy needs an RSS reader to get your stuff.
If they have iPhoto, you don't. It's just that photo sharing.
We're talking about the 97% of the population. Right. So, yeah.
Them.
If you have a Mac, yes, you can subscribe to this stuff in Safari or whatever. But if you don't have a Mac, you need an RSS reader, which most people have no idea what that is. I mean, your audience aside.
No, and I think that's true. And in fact, I noticed, and I don't, you know, he emphasized that if you do a podcast, it's you press the button and you subscribe in iTunes. It doesn't necessarily support anything else.
Yeah, I think that's one of the problems as well, but that's a whole other issue with RSS.
Well, and we're at Macworld, and so it is 100% of the population here. But that's a very good point, yeah. I mean, you use the word RSS, and most people don't know what you're talking about.
Correct.
And yet, I think it's a great enabling technology. It's just a question of, I mean, you don't really even have to mention RSS to subscribe to something and get it automatically. But I guess it's the tools are lacking on the Windows side. What's the deal?
Exactly. Well, I mean, you got to go out. You got to get a piece of shareware. You got to know which one. There's no market leader, so you don't know. It's not like everyone, Remember when the web came out and everyone said, have you heard of this thing, Mosaic? Yeah. It's, RSS isn't like
There's
that.
No Mosaic.
However, Internet Explorer in the next version of Windows... Windows Vista.
You know something we don't know.
The next version of Windows Vista will have Internet Explorer with an RSS reader built in, just like Apple has their browser with their RSS reader built in. So that may change over time.
Really is a copycat company over there, isn't it? It's amazing.
Oh, my God. Well, let me go off on a rant.
We'll just have to let that be the inside joke of the show today, because we don't want to go into that. But, yeah. So how much of your coverage now is moving toward the Mac and the Times?
You mean for this week's column?
No, in general. Is there pressure not to do too much Mac stuff?
Well, not from the Times, but from readers. There's just tremendous viciousness out there, tremendous anti-Apple backlash whenever I write something on Apple.
We see that too.
And maybe I do 5 columns a year on Apple stuff, 5 or 6 columns out of the 48 that I do. And people go nuts. They're like, they do the math, and they're like, that is way out of proportion for the market share. Okay, so that's the determinant of quality, you know, reporting. I'm like, no, you idiot. It's innovation and what's interesting and what's new and what's the trend. And Apple, more often than not, sets it. But that doesn't appease these people. It's like trying to tell a red state person to listen to the blue state person. It's ridiculous.
I'm sitting in the audience. Emily and I were talking about this, going, why would anybody want to use Windows?
Yeah, that was one of the things we just talked about. Why would you want to use Windows on a Mac? It kind of defeats the whole purpose of having a Mac in the first place.
All right. Thank you, David, for taking time out. I know you're very busy. We went over to the O'Reilly booth, so we talked to David Pogue, and they said, well, he'll be here at 4, but he's always got a little trail of people following him.
That's true, and the trail is bigger this year. Oh, my God, I'm standing there after the keynote. I'm talking to somebody or other, and three people are standing 6 feet off from the conversation cluster, whipping open their cell phones. I've been cell phone cammed now.
Oh, my God.
Be careful. We saw a cutout of you over by the O'Reilly booth, so maybe we can point people over there.
Exactly. Well, actually, that was the thought, that people can, while I'm not there, they can get their picture taken with me.
That's true celebrity now.
that's true excess.
We did that one year at CES. We had pictures of all the tech TV people and a hole in the middle of it, so you can stick your head in it. This was not very popular.
That's why you needed the podcast, so we can have the audio coming from behind the cutout.
All right, Mr. David, come over here. Come here, you. No, you. I want to talk to you.
I think they could have saved a lot of money and used a sock puppet.
Thank you, David.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
So that's it, live from the show floor at Macworld Expo. We're going to be doing our new TV show, Mac Break, here in a couple of days, and we'll be putting that out soon. In fact, I'm excited about that. We're going to try to do these at least twice monthly and maybe more if we can get you to come down to San Francisco more often.
That's not really going to be a problem.
Weather's a little better here.
It's a little bit cool in Toronto right now, so I don't mind coming down for sure.
In the winter, we can get you, no problem. So watch for that at MacBreak.com, and of course, we'll be back next week with a little bit of a more conventional Inside the Net, more Web 2.0 news from Amber MacArthur. For Amber MacArthur, I'm Leo Laporta. Thanks to our friends at AOL Radio. They play us on the AOL podcast channel and, of course, provide us with the bandwidth to bring you this podcast. Have a great week. We'll see you next Tuesday, Inside the Net.